Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. I'm Michael Neal. You can read more about me and my work at michaelneal.org. One of the first things that I tell pretty much everybody when we begin training, coaching, or working with the Inside Out Understanding is that the most important and in some ways only key to getting the depth of what's on offer is to stay in the conversation. In order to understand why that's so important, I'm going to share a bit of my own story and what I've come to see by staying in the conversation even when it didn't seem to be going anywhere, and even more importantly, when it seemed like I'd already got it. During my first coaching intensive with a principles-based practitioner, I became absolutely convinced that either my coaches were holding out on me — how can you teach something called the three principles and not be able to articulate what they are? — or that some very well-meaning people had stumbled across the secrets of the universe and were utterly befuddled by how to share them with others. I thought about flying home early, but being the generous-spirited and awesomely arrogant guy that I was, I figured I'd stay in the conversation long enough to figure out what was really behind the seemingly miraculous breakthroughs I'd already begun experiencing, and then share what I'd learned with both the world at large and the teachers who seemed to struggle so much to explain what they'd seen to me. To my amazement, on the second night of that intensive, I had an insight into the nature of well-being that literally turned my world on its head. Here's how I wrote about it in the Inside Out Revolution. By the second night, when I popped a recording of Sid Banks talking about the power of thought into the DVD player in my hotel room, I'd just about given up on learning anything of value. Then halfway through my second beer, I heard something so profound that the beer came spurting out of my nose as I burst into fits of laughter. All Sid said, and I've gone back and played the DVD over again to check, was, "Every human being has innate mental health." The reason it struck me as funny was because somehow I knew that it was absolutely and fundamentally true. I had been a depressed, suicidal teen, and as I learned and practiced many of the self-help techniques that proliferate in our culture, it got better. For over 15 years, I studied and practiced every methodology I could find to stave off depression and create positive feelings in my body. And I became convinced that the only things preventing me from sliding back into the misery I had fought tooth and nail to escape were my techniques and practices. So for Sid to say that mental health was natural went against everything I'd learned and taught in my first forays into the world of self-help. Yet I could instantly see the truth of it. After all, babies don't need therapy. And while I can't honestly say I remember what it felt like to be in the womb, I knew from watching my own kids grow up that other than during periods of physical discomfort, they lived in a pretty continual state of mental well-being for the first few years of their lives. In seeing the original grace of my innate mental health, I felt as though the burden of nearly 40 years of struggle had been lifted off my shoulders. Well-being is our nature. That doesn't mean we always feel good. Any one of us can get caught up in thought at any time, and in so doing become instantly subject to every emotional color in the spectrum. But to say that means that well-being comes and goes would be like saying that because there are clouds, the sun isn't always present. Even in the darkest hour, the sun is still there. It's just that sometimes there's something between us and our clear seeing. As the fruits of this insight settled into my psyche over the next 6 months or so, I reached a point where I was truly, deeply at peace for the first time in my adult life. Not only was this peaceful feeling unconditional, in other words, available to me at all times, regardless of circumstances, it was also robust. For the first time in memory, my mood could drop without my having to worry about it crashing through the floor. I could feel sad without fear of spiraling down into depression, and uptight without any undue worry that it would spiral up into full-blown anxiety. So when one of my mentors suggested to me that there was more for me to see, I laughed out loud. "Well," I said, "I'm unconditionally happy for the first time in my life, which is all I've ever wanted, so thanks, but no thanks. I'm good." It seemed ridiculous and slightly offensive to me that they couldn't see that I'd got it, and I began to wonder if their own financial insecurity was driving them to keep selling long past the point where I'd bought the car and driven it off the lot. Fortunately, the one chink in my arrogance has always been an awareness that the more righteously sure I am about something, the more likely it is that I'm wrong. So after a few months' hiatus, I booked myself onto another program and rejoined the conversation. This time my insight was into the made-up nature of our thought-created reality, and my experience of life and work with others has never been the same. Here, what I've come to see is the three levels of understanding that inevitably come with a deeper understanding of the principles behind the human experience. 1. Shifting the foundations. At this level, our fundamental way of seeing the world changes as we begin to understand that we are only and always living in an experience of thought, not circumstance. We also begin to connect with the deeper mind, the intelligence behind life that unfolds moment by moment all around us and through us if we let it. 2. Expanding possibilities. As we relax into our new understanding, we begin to see new possibilities for ourselves, our lives, and our work. We begin to see how the principles are in action in our everyday worlds, and we can use our growing understanding to solve problems, boost performance, hit targets, and break through limitations with greater ease and more reliable results than ever before. 3. Going deeper. At some point, our insights become more vertical than horizontal, and we begin to experience more of our true nature as spiritual beings having a human experience. This opens us up to the possibility of living from mind, making the shift from empowered creators to enlightened conduits, following a deeper calling, and making a deeper contribution to the world. As far as I can tell, this journey is never ending, because there's nowhere to arrive. You simply find that the ever-unfolding path gets clearer, and the rewards more profound the longer and deeper you travel.
Have fun, learn heaps, and happy exploring. I'll talk to you soon.